Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Joshua. Today we'll learn about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, and we'll see that these histories are also prophetic of future events. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Our study in Joshua will show us that, just as God's people had to battle for their promised land, today we too must battle to see, then seize, God's promises for us, so that we can live in the Spirit-filled life. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Is he Jesus or is he God? He's both. Verse 4, "Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair," very scratchy, and camel's hair, of course, is a signet that he was like sackcloth or mourning, if you will, "with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey." This could very well be locust crickets, but there are also plants in the air that were called locust plants. Verse 5, the original Bear Grylls was John the Baptist. Verse 5, "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." They're in the very same place where Joshua is that we're reading currently. "But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oof. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance.'" Don't just watch. Repent. Verse 9, "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'You know what? We don't need to listen to this coconut. We are the descendants of Abraham.'" Meaning, look, we're Jews. Our ticket is punched directly to heaven. "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these" what? What stones was he pointing to? That's right. Back to Joshua. Pretty cool, huh? Verse 15, Joshua chapter 4. "Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan.' Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, 'Come up from the Jordan.' And it came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the feet of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all of its banks as before." Imagine if you were standing there at that time watching this. Would you ever, ever need some sign that there was a God again? Because, nope, I saw it. I wrote, "The raging, roiling, turbulent, flooding Jordan loose, just as it was hours before. Except now, all the roiling waters, except now, unseen, there are rocks of testimony underneath." Powerful principle of the promised land, you guys. Once I've been baptized by the Spirit, no matter what dangers, no matter what turbulent flood I'm facing, the rocks of testimony are underneath them. Amen? God has been here. God has moved miraculously. God hasn't brought me this far to see me drowned. Verse 19. "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month." Now whenever the Bible gives you a detail like that, perk up. What is the first month? Nisan. What's the 10th of Nisan? 10th of Nisan, in the Old Testament, you were supposed to select your Passover lamb. What day did Jesus roll into Jerusalem to present himself as Messiah on the 10th of Nisan. Coincidence? I don't think so. And now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, Nisan, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. Really and truly, in this occasion, this is a triumphal entry into the promised land. When Jesus does it, is it so triumphal then? Same name, Yahshua in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New. Pretty amazing. There are people that say humans wrote the Bible. When you find little stuff like that, how many of you guys know? Nah, it's the finger of God. Verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took up out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, hey, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, you guys. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. And as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we all crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Rocks of testimony. Amen? With your Jesus glasses on, as they come through the second baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, what was the sign that they had made it across? These rocks of testimony, if you will. What is the model here, or is there a model here, of being baptized in the Spirit? Here's a hint. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, and by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you speak in tongues, if you heal the sick, if you give lots of money. Here's how they're going to know, that you have love for one another. Now bear with me. Now write 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You, hey Harvest family, you also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual heap or house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ. There's only one way grumpy, rough-edged living stones can fit together, you guys. By the way, stones are one thing. You set them in a spot, they don't move. But living stones is a whole other ballgame. Hey, stop it. Stop bumping me. You know, you're granite and I'm quartz and I don't like granite. I don't like quartz. It's because I'm granite, isn't it? You don't like me. There's only one way that living grumpy stones can live together in this beautiful heap. It's love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind. You know what's coming, right? Let's check it out. By the way, what's chapter 12 about? Do you remember off the top of your head? Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. And what is Paul going to talk about in chapter 14? Spiritual gifts, namely the gift of tongues. So chapter 12 is gifts, chapter 14 is gifts. What's chapter 13 in the middle? It's about love. Let's check it out. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, then I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, or I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but if I don't have, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it profits me nothing. And in case you were wondering what love is, I'm glad you asked, says Paul. Well, I'll tell you. Agape, you know that's what the word is. Love suffers long and is kind. Some of your translations say love is patient, and that's true, but patience is a bit of a sanitizing of the word. The actual word means suffers long. Oh, and by the way, while you're suffering long, you're kind. Not just, I'm so suffering right now. You see it on my face, right? I'm suffering long, and while I am kind. It does not envy. What is envy? Wanting more of something that you already have enough of. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't stick its chest out. It's not proud. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 19, he, Messiah, will not quarrel or strive nor cry out in the streets. He was citing Isaiah 42, verse 1. One of the descriptions of Messiah is he was not going to be weird. And why do I say that? There are those people who will put on a sandwich board, or they'll pick up a crate perhaps, and with a loudspeaker in the middle of a highly trafficked area, that by and large, the crowd is not there because they're seeking spiritual enlightenment. They're going along their day. And with a megaphone, squawk that they're all going to hell. That's not what Jesus would do. In fact, here it is right here. Does not behave itself rudely, unseemingly. The reason why people were attracted to our Lord is because he exuded life. And he wasn't a weirdo. Does not seek its own way. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. That's literally does not keep any records of wrongs. Hey, husbands and wives, how's your filing system with all the stuff done wrong by your spouse? You know, we're really not supposed to keep those because, praise God, that's not what Jesus does for us. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Ha! Yay, something bad happened to you. But rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And you've heard us do this before. But if you put your name there, does that really work out? Steve doesn't keep any records of wrongs. Well, wait a minute. Steve bears all things, believes all things, he endures all things. Steve never fails. Is that accurate? No. You put Jesus' name in there. Jesus never fails. Is that accurate? And that's why when these attributes of love are read at weddings and such, and I get it that the wide-eyed, optimistic young couple thinks that this kind of loving resides within the reservoirs of the human spirit. Not so. Do you see the exercise done here? To have this kind of love, we've got to be filled with the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, says Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is singular love. Comma, which is manifested by joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. What is the sign that we have come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We've asked the Lord to completely do the driving. Lord, I give you everything that I am. Will there be a sign? I think so. Modeled by those rocks piled into a heap, we become rocks, living stones, piled into the heap or the house of God, which is not possible unless the living stones are apprehended by love. I'm not done yet. I want to keep picking at this a little bit. I want to show you something else. I think there's another example. Go into your Old Testament. We'll end here. Exodus chapter 39. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Go to Exodus 39. And I want to show you an interesting detail. Old Testament pictures are New Testament principles. And everything in the tabernacle, including the vestments or the garments of the priests, were all very important. And they were there for a detail, which means they somehow speak of Jesus. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Exodus 39, join me in verse 22. Now he, Moses, made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an opening in the middle of the robe, like the opening of a coat of mail, with two woven binding all around the opening so that it would not tear. And they made on the hem of the robe. Do you remember why the hem was so important? It was at the hem of the garment that the epaulets of success or authority or power were displayed. When David snips a corner of the hem of Saul's garment, we think, what's the big deal? But why did it bug David? He was sort of chipping away at the authority of Saul. What is on the hem of the high priest? Now remember, what was the high priest to do? A number of things. But one time, once a year, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, he would slip behind the veil into the presence of the Lord, manifested on the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory, and he was to sprinkle blood on the horns of the Ark of the Covenant and then get out. What was dangling on the hem of his garment? Let's see, verse 24. And they made on the hem of the robe pomegranates. Now, pomegranates is a fruit. And you might want to scratch in your margin there, Numbers 13, verse 23. They were part of the fruit that was discovered by the spies with Moses inside the promised land. Grapes and pomegranates. And in Numbers 13, verse 23, it's somewhat referred to as the fruit of the promised land. But I want you to make these little dingle balls out of or in the form of pomegranates. Blue and purple, scarlet and fine woven linen. And they made bells of pure gold. And they put the bells between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate. Bell, pomegranate. Bell, fruit. Bell, fruit. The bell would ring if the high priest was ministering. Do you see how that would work? The bell would ring, it would sound off of the pomegranates neighboring it. How did you know if you were listening on the other side of the veil? How would you know that the high priest was moving? By listening to the fruit and the bell working together. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is moving? The bell. You've got to have fruit working in conjunction with love. Love and giftings. Love and giftings. It's got to be love. It's got to be giftings together. Did you notice chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians is the gifts of the Spirit? What's on chapter 14? Gifts, if you will. What's in the middle between the two? Love. Gifts. The fruit, if you will. In the middle, there's the bell. And do you see how it goes back and forth and back and forth? Pomegranates, the fruit of the promised land. Fruit, love. Bells, the moving of the Spirit and gifts. That's how you could tell he was moving. And then fruit of love again. If the fruit is missing, love, if love is missing, the bells won't work. Old Testament picture of exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 4. The humans may be very busy in their spiritual giftings, even exhausted. Lots of activity, but if it's not done with love, is it possible that God's not even in it? You know what the rocks of testimony is, you guys? What is the sign of us coming through the baptism of the Holy Spirit as modeled by the Jordan River? It's the rocks of testimony. Who are the rocks of testimony? You and me, we are. When we are filled with the Spirit, love is who we are, and then our giftings of what we do then meld together in a beautiful marriage, a powerful living and ministry. Amen? That blessed my heart today. I hope it blessed yours. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord. Steve, you seem pretty excited about that rocks on the side of Gilgal. Oh, for me, it was so alive today. Lord, thank you for all the many models in the scriptures. And here was, in my opinion, a very, very powerful one. Hey, how do you know if you've been filled with the Spirit? How do you know if you crossed through the Jordan? You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And you know what else? You're going to be moving in spiritual gifts. Maybe somebody laid hands on you to commission you. Maybe they didn't. But the point of it is, if we ask, 1 Corinthians 12 went on to say, earnestly seek spiritual gifts. But make sure that it's together working with love. How do I know I'm living in the promised land? How are you getting along with the other living stones? Are you grumpy? Do you not like some of them? Then maybe ask the Lord, Lord, would you remind me again how you've touched my life? And just to make sure that I'm on the same page with you, Lord, I give you everything again. Maybe I grabbed the steering wheel back and didn't even know it. But I can tell because there's a dryness to my spirit. There's a grumpiness to my service. There's an impatience with your timing. Oh Lord, help me to remember that this place I'm at that may seem a bit like a flood, overwhelming. Oh, there's the rocks of testimony that we can't see that are there. You've been here before, Lord. And your power and your protection and your provision, it's all here. I need to rest. And I need to word, worship, pray, and fellowship. And then the fruit of the Spirit will begin to become evident again. Only this time, not because I got to, but because I get to. Because I'm overwhelmed, Lord God, by your Spirit of grace. Lord, I pray that harvest has fruit and bells and fruit and bells and pomegranates and bells and pomegranates and bells. And that when we clang together, it's not, hey, stop that. We come together and we all sound a beautiful resonance, completely in tune with you. Harmonies, Lord. And let the sound that comes from Harvest Family Fellowship, Lord, be a sound that pleases you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Joshua with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful in understanding the powerful and crucial principle of living in the Spirit-filled life. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.